So, Dave, I'm going to hand straight over to you, and I know you've got something in the baskets as well that will help with your talk, so you can tell them about that as you go. Why don't you give Dave a big welcome?
Good morning. Ooh, that's really loud. I'll pull the microphone away a little bit. Good morning. Now, who's heard of Wikipedia? Hand up if you've heard of Wikipedia. Okay, if you've got teenagers, they've probably already started to work out that's how they do their assignments. Wikipedia, I've worked out that giving talks at youth group and sermons at church, you can get illustrations straight off Wikipedia. Wikipedia's great. It's an online encyclopedia that's unlike any other Encyclopedia Britannica that comes around. In 1984, I think ours came around. And every year we get a yearbook about this thick, which would update the things that had changed in the last year. Wikipedia is very different from Encyclopedia Britannica or the World Book Encyclopedia. Wikipedia isn't just an encyclopedia that you can get information from, but you can actually change information on it. It's lots of fun. I've done it. There's a page that said youth groups, and I wrote on the bottom of it, an example of a really good youth group is CCC Youth, and put a link to it. A few days later, someone edited it out because it wasn't quite within the guidelines. I found some other page and put my own name on it and linked out to my blog site. And again, it was gone a few days later. But that's the type of thing that Wikipedia is. It's the type of thing where it's not just getting content. You can actually help to be part of providing the content. Now, there's a term that you may have heard of, Web 2.0. Who's heard of the term Web 2.0 or Web 2.0? Okay, two of you. Okay, fantastic. This is going to be fun this morning. Web 2.0 is a term that's been thrown around in the last few years to describe how the internet is sort of used these days. 10 years ago, in the early days of the internet, the user would use the internet by getting content off it. That is, it was quite static. I'd go visit my favourite website, I'd read the latest information on it, and that would be about it. Web 2.0 is suggesting that the way that we use the internet now is it's more dynamic. It's less me just using content, but me, the user, can provide the content. So things like Wikipedia, things like blogs, things like comments, things where you can actually rearrange the whole page. If abc.net.au, the news page, you can actually set up the news so that only the news you want to hear comes through. Okay, I want to hear about the soccer, I want to hear about Iraq, and I want to hear about health food. And they're all the things. You can set it in Web 2.0 type of websites so that you get what you want. And you can provide content and you can help to provide the feedback. Web 2.0 is very user-driven. It's very interactive, dynamic. It's not static. It's alive. And so the internet that your children, your tots, if you look at the top of the page there, I think it's called My Kid on MySpace, Wary but Willing Parenting of Techno-Talented Tots, Tweens, and Teenagers. Tots, you can work that out, toddlers. Tweens, who's heard the term tweens before? Yeah, it's been used more and more. That's sort of the in-between type of thing. They're no longer kids, but they're not yet teenagers. It's sort of that 9, 10, 11, 12 type of bracket. And teenagers. The internet that your tots, teens, tweens and teenagers are interacting with is something that they can actually have a part of contributing to. It's something that they can actually have a part of providing the content and giving feedback on the content and changing the content and putting pictures of their parents on a page that says Hitler or something like that on Wikipedia or whatever it might be. So that is the internet that we're talking about. And so my aim this morning first of all, I think there's three types of parents here, if you are a parent. Number one is the regarding the internet and your kids and how they use it. Number one is the unaware parent. The parent that's MySpace. What is that? What space? Face space? My tube? What? The unaware parent. The one who really just doesn't know much. They're ignorant. You might be ignorant this morning about the internet and what your teenager or tween or tot is actually doing, on the internet. You may not purposely be ignorant, but you're unaware, okay? I'm sure there's lots of us here this morning who are unaware in our understanding of the internet. The second set are those who are angry. The internet is from the devil. Stay away. That type of thing. My guess is there's probably a couple of us here that may be the angry parent who hates the internet and wants their kid to stay away from it at all costs. So So we've got the unaware parent, we've got the angry parent. I want to encourage you this morning to be number three, the wary but willing parent. You like that? Lots of plays on letters this morning. Alliteration, I think that's called. The wary but willing parent. That is, be realistic and be wary about real dangers online. But at the same time, be willing and keen to actually understand it and understand how it can actually be used for good. So whichever one of those you are this morning, my hope is that you won't go away as an unaware parent. You'll have a bit more info. You won't go away as an angry parent, but you'll go away wanting to be wary but willing. And so as part of that aim, I guess my argument this morning about the internet and your teenager's use of it, or tween, or tot, is that the internet in and of itself is neutral. That is, it's neither good nor bad. It's neither good nor bad. And secondly, if they don't already know more, your kid will know more about computers and the internet than you. Quick show of hands if you're pretty confident that your 15-year-old knows more than you about the internet and computers. 10-year-old, 5-year-old, I'm sure we've got some 5-year-old people. My niece is only 5 years old and she knows her way around the internet better than her parents. It's scary. But your kid will know more about the internet and computers than you. So therefore, if the internet's not bad in and of itself and not good in and of itself, I guess the ultimate aim of this morning as wary and willing parents is to think about how to help your tot, your tween, and your teenager to use the internet for good. We hear in the media when things happen with sites like MySpace and so forth where dreadful things might happen. We always hear those stories. But we don't hear the good ones. There's lots of good things that happen online as well. So I guess my aim this morning is to help you to see that you can actually encourage your child to think about how they use the internet in a positive way and help to guard them from the negative things that they could get up to on the internet. Now, who am I to say these things? I'm not a parent at this stage. But I've been working with the teenagers in the church here for the last 10 years, and I guess in the last 5 years in particular, we've really thought through how we can use technology, how we can use communication means with the internet and websites and podcasts and all these other words you probably haven't heard of. And it's been really good. It's been good to think about how we tap into teenage culture and how we help meet teenagers where teenagers are at. But it's also been a good thing to help communicate with them. And I'm sure that lots of you as parents who may have youth group kids here at the church that's running Summerfest, it's even good for communicating with you. We've got email lists and all sorts of things that are helpful for that. We've got a website, just our youth group website gets over 700 hits a day, which is a reasonable size. We have, it's useful in our community, but we have other churches and youth groups around Australia and other places that ask us some of the stuff we're doing. So we've thought a little bit about this. I've thought a little bit about this. And even though I'm not a parent, I don't presume to understand all the difficulties of parenting and know those. But consider me a mediator. I'm about 10 or 15 years older than your kid, and you're about 10 or 15 years older than me. So consider me the one in the middle. I can see someone up the back there that knows he's about 35 years older than me. Andrew Hurd, well done. But consider me a mediator. Now, on your sheets of paper there, the MySpace... My kid on MySpace, I want you to quickly grab 1 minute. If you haven't had a look at the front page there, there's a whole bunch of logos, and it says, are you internet savvy? Have you got techno talent? Write down what you know about each of the web logos below. You don't have to write it down. You can just quickly think about it, quickly talk about it with the people nearby, or maybe even if you're pretty confident you know what it is, give it a tick, and if you don't know what it is, put a little cross. And you can't just have heard of it. You must know what it is. Go, you've got 30 seconds. Okay, Google. Hand up if you do know what Google is. Okay, what is it? It's a search engine that searches for things. It's an engine that searches. Good work. Wikipedia, we've already said what that one is. It's an online encyclopedia that you can change. Lots of fun. MySpace, who knows what MySpace is? Shout it out. How would you define it? Social networking site, perfect terminology. We've got some tech-savvy parents down the front here. MySpace is huge. MySpace is the fifth most visited website on the internet, and there's a significant proportion of teenagers that are on MySpace. We'll talk more about MySpace a little bit later on. Basically, our case study today will be MySpace. And we'll think about MySpace specifically, but there's a whole bunch of principles that apply to a whole bunch of different websites. So we'll keep moving. MySpace, Facebook. Who has a Facebook profile? Okay, six of you. Great. Who knows what Facebook is? One of those people, shout it out. Again, it's a social networking site, which is a bit classier than MySpace. I've always said MySpace is ugly. It's really ugly graphics and people make their sites look terrible. Facebook's a lot cleaner and nicer and smarter, and that's why lots of you have started to use that, because you are those type of people. YouTube. Who hasn't watched a YouTube video? Hasn't watched. Okay, so more than half have watched a YouTube video. YouTube is a video sharing website. There's lots of video sharing websites, but YouTube's the winner at the moment because who bought them? Google bought them. And if Google buys you, you're going to make it. So if you're looking to sell your business, sell it to Google and you'll go famous. Xanga. Who's heard of Xanga? Okay, well, I think we may have one. Shout it out. What is it? Yeah, it's a blog site, sort of, again, a social networking blog type of site. Xanga. MSN Messenger. Oh, what's a blog? I'll tell you what a blog is in a moment. That'll come later. We'll have a long question time as we try to define some of these terms today. The good thing about the internet is if you don't know something, you can actually type it into Google and get answers. It's unbelievable. You don't need recipe books. You don't need any question you've got. If your computer breaks down, you'll have to go to someone else's computer, type in the problem with your computer, and some geek out there has probably already written the solution. Turn it back on, or whatever it might be. MSN Messenger. Who's heard of that one? My guess is lots of you, if you have teenagers, they spend lots of time there. It's an instant messenger where you chat to someone real time. So you don't just send them an email and then wait for them to reply. You sit there at the same time. You can see when they're online and you talk with one another. In all that language where they miss all the vowels and they don't really know how to spell, and I think that's starting to cross over into their essays at school and their schoolwork. But hey, they'll change the dictionary soon to accommodate that. Second Life. Who's heard of that one? Second Life is, as it suggests, a second life. This is a scary one. I've only ever been on the front page. I've never actually tried to get an account or tap into this one. There are people who have these things called avatars, a little picture of themselves, which they've made up. So they might be short and a little bit wide, but they become tall and beautiful hair and ripped abs or whatever it might be. Second Life, basically your avatar lives a second life online. You can buy property. They've got a currency. I can't remember the name of it. Does anyone remember the name of it? It starts with an L and has a vowel in there somewhere. I think it's about 10,000 L things, is worth about $1 US. Just about 6 months ago, Second Life got its first millionaire. That is, someone who made money by selling property online and to conducting businesses online through the website Second Life. There's bands that are now doing live performances just on Second Life. It's crazy what happens, but there's crime that happens on there too. Of course there's going to be crime. If in our first life we do crime, we're going to work out some ways to do crime in our second life. There's Second Life. Podcast. Who's heard of a podcast? Okay. A podcast is basically a fancy way of distributing a file, and in particular an audio file or a video file. So rather than going to a website where you may download a sermon or some radio show by the way, if you go to podcast.cceyouth.com, you will come across probably one of the best podcasts on the internet. I'm in it. It's fantastic. It's called On the Potty. It's good fun. But a podcast is basically a smarter way of subscribing to content rather than going and visiting a site and waiting. Imagine that you subscribe to Truck Week, Truck Monthly. It's a truck magazine. You could go down to the news agent on the first Monday of the month when it normally comes out and buy it. But sometimes they may not come out on the first Monday. It might be a little bit late. And you go down the Monday, it's not there. So you go back on the Tuesday, it's not there. And you go back on the Wednesday and then you buy it. You could do that with Truck Monthly, or you could subscribe and have it delivered to you. A podcast is just subscribing to have audio or video content delivered to you. So that's sort of what a podcast is. And again, ccecyouth.com has a fantastic podcast on there that would be a great introduction to podcasts. Now, ustream.tv, has anyone heard of that one? Oh, one person. Again. Ustream TV is a little bit like YouTube, but a bit freakier. Basically, you can watch people do stuff live. It's like streamed live. I had a bit of a look at it last night. So there's radio stations that do it, and you can see lots of the banter in the background. I had a look a couple of weeks ago, and there was just a guy sitting in front of his computer. People are sending in messages saying, hey, pick your nose for us. And so he'll pick his nose. He didn't do that, but you could do that. I'm sure someone has done that. There's a whole bunch of the websites that are out there that really make up this Web 2.0, where it's no longer just about getting content, but you can actually be part of creating content. Now, one of the key terms when thinking about your teenagers or those who are going to be teenagers soon in your families is as we think about MySpace and as we think about Xanga and as we think about Facebook and all these things, is the key term which was used before, social networking. Social networking. Basically, what we see with the internet and these websites that are becoming more and more popular is a way for people to connect, people to network socially, to catch up with their friends from school. You get off the school bus, you run home, and you see who can send one another the first message. I can see lots of nods happening at this point. And so you get this picture of social networking where you may have relationships with people that you don't know in reality, but more often than not, the relationships you have are with people that you know in reality, and you'll talk about what happened at school that day. You'll talk about, are you going to the party on Friday night, or are you, or whatever it might be. Now, the current generation, I guess the current teenage generation, also known as Generation Y, they're very tech savvy. They're very into social networking stuff. They're very into mobile phones. They're very into iPods. They live with all those things. They're always getting the newest thing. They're midnight texting their friend while lying in their bed. Oh, can you remember to bring my iPod tomorrow? Or whatever it might be. For Generation Y, for the current teenage and young adult generation, social networking is big, such that 64% of 12 to 21-year-olds are actually part of social networking sites. That is, 64% of teenagers don't just use the internet, but actually help to provide content on the internet, help to provide feedback for someone else's content on the internet, can actually delete someone else's content, mark someone else's content as spam or inappropriate, all these types of things. Was there a question, what is spam? Okay, we'll come to that one later. It's going to be a fun question time. Spam's a really tasty type of ham. It's really good. What do you do with spam? When you get it, you put it in the bin. Spam on the internet is rubbish that you put in the bin, basically. There's a quick answer. 64% of 12 to 21-year-olds do some type of content creation, social networking sites. Another 25% of 12 to 21-year-olds use the internet regularly, but not necessarily on social networking content creating sites. Work out the maths. 89% of teenagers are regularly on the internet, are regularly interacting in some way. And my guess is the other 11% are probably there, but just maybe not as regularly. They might have a life and play sport and be good at things outside of computers. But as I said before, we're going to spend a little bit of time now thinking about MySpace. Who knows whether their tot, tween or teenager has a MySpace page? Okay? Hand up if it's a yes. Okay, hands down. Hand up if you're 100% confident that they don't have a MySpace page. Wow. They might be those that have two-year-olds, but who knows? Okay, and a hand up if you, if you've really got no idea whether your teenager or what, so forth, has one. My guess is there's some of you who put your hands up and are confident they don't have a MySpace page, and they do have a MySpace page. And I may well have seen their MySpace page, and I can tell you how to get to their MySpace page if you want me to give you some help. But shout out the names and I'll tell you the addresses. No, not quite. But as far as social networking sites, as I said, Facebook is actually a newer one, and it's starting to take off with the 20-somethings and even older people, like 30s and 40s. And I saw someone that was born in 1947 on their birthday on there. That's crazy. Facebook is taking off with that older generation. As far as our youth group, we have about 30 friends. You can have friends and all this connectivity that happens. Our Facebook page has about, it has about 60 friends. Of them, about 20 of them are youth group kids. The rest are leaders or people who used to go to our church. Our MySpace page has 189 friends. And most of those are people that are part of our youth group or have at least visited our youth group. There's lots and lots of teenagers that are on MySpace. That's why we'll spend most of our time thinking about MySpace. But as I said, there's principles here that will really help you to think about how you do the wary but willing parenting with your child. One of the best features of MySpace, and I knew it was there, but I've only discovered it in the last week in detail, is at the very bottom, right, MySpace.com at the top, the very bottom there's a menu that says safety tips. It is brilliant. Lots of these websites are characterized in certain ways in the media and on television because bad stuff sometimes happens, but they are actually serious about doing things safely, and so there's some fantastic tips for parents. You can click on pages that will give you short videos to show you how everything works. You can click on pages that will give you tips on how to be open in communication with your kids and so forth. There's very, very good information on that page. And on the back of the sheet there, I've put a bit of a link. And also on our youth group website, within a couple of hours, there'll be a whole bunch more links that I'd encourage you to go check out because they'll be very helpful in thinking about these things. But when you get home and jump on the internet, you can check these things out. But I'm going to give you a really quick whirlwind tour of MySpace and how it works. So basically, you get friends. There's a bit of a status about getting friends. The more friends you got, the more popular you are. And so you become friends with different bands. You become friends with someone that you met once. You become friends with your friend's friend because you saw them once. You get friends, and you can display your top friends. That's a status type thing. I mean, his top friends. Yeah. Why aren't I in your top friends? Aren't we best buddies? You see all these types of things going on. So it's all about friends and connecting with friends and having more friends and commenting on your friends' pages. You can chat with them from wall to wall. So you can click comment on the page and you can write a public message that everyone else can go and read. And then you can reply and you can have a conversation. Sometimes you wonder why people write that publicly, but they do. You can also send private messages. They're a tricky one. You can't see those as readily. If you look on their page, you won't see the private messages because they're private. But there is a private message system such that you can send messages to one another. You can upload pictures from school, upload pictures from the weekend, upload pictures from camps, whatever it might be. Videos, kids are uploading videos. You can put a small little music player on the corner of your page. And play your favourite song from a band's website. So you can actually import that in so that you have a song playing the second someone comes on to your page. You can put links to different videos. Lots of people put YouTube videos on their pages. They put quizzes. They put survey results. They put blog posts. Who knows what a blog is? One person, two, three, four, seven people. A blog is short for web log. And it's sort of like an online journal. There's a whole bunch of places that do them. Blogspot is a big one that does them. WordPress is a big one that does them. But MySpace has a blog feature. So at the top of your kid's MySpace page, you can read their blogs. They might write poems, believe it or not. Sometimes they use the internet for creativity and not just wasting time. They might write stories. They might have a rant of some description. They might write they might link to something else. They might put a video, whatever it might be. So there's blog posts. If I put a blog post on there, then my friend can come and put a comment and say, that was a good blog post, David. You are profoundly insightful. That happens all the time amongst teenagers, that type of language. There's online polls, there's chat rooms, there's four. Do you know what a chat room is? Basically, you go and talk real time and you can see each other typing. There's forums where you can, it's like a message board where you can leave a question and someone can reply. Basically, the way I like to think about it is it's like your bedroom wall, a MySpace page. I don't know if kids put posters on their walls anymore, but when I was a kid, I had posters all over my walls. and you put the things that are important to you, the sports or the bands or the whatever it might be, pictures, you'd put them on your walls. A MySpace page is a lot like a bedroom wall. It's a lot like what you may have done if you had paper back when you were growing up and were able to put blue tack or whichever thing on your walls. Other things on MySpace, you can update your status. So you can say, I'm feeling sad, and it will pop up and everyone can see that you're feeling sad. I'm really excited because of school holidays. You can write that in your status. You can change your mood. I'm feeling grumpy. And there's all sorts of little buttons there you can change. There's all sorts of things. There's lots of categories with comedians and filmmakers and horoscopes and music, and there's MySpace TV. It's huge. There is over 100 million users on MySpace, and it's all about social networking. That is, it's all about connecting with other people. That's the key premise to these things. Now, there are real dangers. There are real dangers online. There is a thing called cyberbullying, which is real. I've seen it. I've seen the things that people say. I've talked to some kids about some of the things that they've said on their pages, and they've thought about them and thought, no, that probably wasn't a good thing to write. But there's cyberbullying and significant cases of it. You've probably heard of some of those in the media. MySpace takes seriously spam, that is junk, but it's still easy with the internet in general to access things like pornography. And MySpace is serious about clamping that out of their sites. And you can report people and you can red flag it and do all these types of things. But just some statistics as far as the dangers online, not just MySpace, but in Australia there's 2.7 million people per month who view pornographic websites. What do I mean by red flag it? You can tell MySpace that this is inappropriate. You can wave a red flag and go, MySpace, this is inappropriate. That's what a red flag is. But there's 2.7 million... Australians who view porn per month, 4.3 million per 3 months. So some may not do it monthly, but 4.3 million Australians per month view pornography. That's 34% of internet users. That's staggering. And here's the stat you might want to hear. More than one in five of them are under 18. More than one in five of them are under 18. I've got a friend who's a forensic investigator. It sounds like a fun job, but it's not quite like CSI. It's a terrible job, actually. One of the things he's a computer nerd. I'm not a nerd. I'm a quasi nerd. He is a nerd. He really knows stuff. If you lose stuff on your computer and you've wiped it, he can get it back. How do you do that? It's been wiped. He can do it. He's an incredible guy with an incredible skill. And so he'll go into big businesses, and if they've lost some important data, he'll retrieve it. But one of the most significant things he does. Is a terrible thing in helping police with investigations. And so he sees what's on people's computers and sees what's on people's computers who've been investigated or arrested or whatever it might be. And I asked him yesterday for three tips regarding the internet and the real dangers for teenagers. And here's the three tips he came up with. They have access to anything and everything on the internet. At the click of a finger. Your kid is smarter at the internet than you. They can probably turn off the filter that you've put on to your internet. They are smarter than you, and if they're not yet, they will be. So therefore, supervision is important. Having computers in bedrooms is dangerous. So there's the first thing he said. The second thing he said is that pedophiles are unfortunately aplenty. Therefore, don't chat to randoms. That's his language. There are pedophiles on the internet. If you watch the news, you'd think there's millions? There's probably not millions, but there are a lot. Therefore, be careful with who you chat to and who your teenagers and daughters and sons are chatting to. And the final thing he said was identities are easy to steal. Therefore, guard your personal info on the net. I'm alarmed when I see some youth group kids' pages that aren't locked. That is, anyone can go have a look on them, not just their friends. And you see full names. If your kid's got their full name on there, get them to get the last name off. Get them to change their address to be safe. There are real dangers online, not just in MySpace, but in the internet in general. But it's not all bad. It's definitely not all bad. There are real dangers, but there's actually lots of good stuff that happens online. the internet in and of itself isn't bad. It's neither good nor bad. And so one of the things I want to encourage you to do is, how do you help your teenager, your tween or your tot, to think about how they use the internet for good? We've got some great kids in our youth group, and I'm going to read to you just, I've got a couple here, but I'll just read one example of just a comment I saw on one of their pages once. These are profound words from a 16-year-old. You'll be surprised, but these are incredible words. Here's what this person said. I've also been going to an awesome youth group since year 7, CCC Youth. I've been so thankful for my time in both junior and senior youth group, for the incredible camps, and for my Bible study group and leader. God's used these three things so much in my life and many others, and it's literally such a godsend to have grown up in such an amazing, God-driven, Christ-centered, Spirit-led and Bible-based youth group. Not saying I haven't struggled at times, but Christ doesn't say everything will be easy once you become a Christian. In fact, he says the opposite. I've got a bunch of other comments on there where there's kids who are writing profound things and are clearly saying, look, I'm a Christian. Look, I want to be different. Look, I want to encourage people. You see people that write comments like, I'm praying for you. You see people who say, it was good to spend time with you. There's lots and lots and lots of positive stuff that happens online, and I see it in our youth group. And so don't think that everything is bad. There are many good things that happen online. There's a great way for connecting with people. There's a great way to encourage one another. Now, I guess the key point there is the internet is neutral. It's not good nor bad. There is terrible stuff that happens, but there's great good that can happen. So as a be wary, but be willing as a parent to think about how you help your teenager, how you help your kids to think about these things, to be open in dialogue, to be open in communication, and use it for good, because there's lots and lots of good stuff that's online. I've got top 10 tips. They're on the back of the sheet there. There's many things I could say. I'm just going to quickly whiz through these, and then we'll have I think we've got time for a short question time. Is that right, Sally? Top 10 things for parents in helping to think about your kids on MySpace and your kids on the internet in general. The first thing is communicate. The opportunity the internet presents is actually another avenue for you to connect with your kid, another avenue for you to communicate with them and talk to them and find out why they go on those sites, find out what they do on those sites, find out what attracts them to those sites, find out exactly what's going on there. So communicate with them. Secondly, try to understand it. One of the biggest things to do after today, particularly if you have no idea on these things, is go to the MySpace page and click on safety tips at the bottom. Understand the world. Click on the videos and just watch. They'll show you how it all works. They'll explain it. They have some great links on there as well. The third thing, which I mentioned before, is a computer in a public spot. The lounge room is better than the bedroom. And you might even think through, look, the kids have got laptops because they use laptops at school. We've got a wireless connection at home. They could use the internet anywhere at home if that's the case. You might even turn the wireless off and have to plug in and only have one port or a couple of ports in one central location where you can then go and plug in. But think about where the computer is in your home. And fourthly, shoulder surf. Have such a relationship that your kid's not afraid if you're standing on their shoulder. Have such a relationship that you're not afraid if your kid's standing on your shoulder while you're on the internet, or if your husband or your wife is watching you while you're on the internet. Because lots of the dangerous things that happen are the secrets. And shoulder surfing helps to discourage secret keeping. And the fifth thing there is just keep reminding them to be cautious. There's some great videos, which I'll link to on the youth group website, called Think Before You Post. And they're really good because once you put it online, it's actually online. And you may take it off, but someone else may have saved it. And you've deleted it, but Google's actually kept a copy of it. And you can still access it at Google for the next month. So remind them to be cautious and remind them to think before you post. And five more things, which is for you if you're on these sites, but for you to pass on in your communication with your kids, is number six there, make your profile private. It's been great. Lots of our youth group kids, I think, have started doing that more and more. So that the only way you can see their stuff is if you're one of their friends. The only way you can see their pictures is if you're one of their friends. And therefore, number seven, don't add strangers. That way you don't have weirdos looking at your pictures. You don't have weirdos looking at your details. You don't have weirdos pretending to be a 15-year-old girl when they're a 29-year-old man. And therefore, number 8, limit the use of personal info. A first name's enough. If you're friends with them, they'll know what you look like. You'll be able to add one another. You don't need all those details. Number 9, encourage them to report red flags. So things such as block the user, mark as spam, mark as inappropriate. There's all these types of buttons that you can press. And MySpace are actually diligent, and sites like them, at deleting things and taking people's accounts off them and banning them so their email address can never register an account again. And the final one there is regularly clean up your profile. Encourage your kids to think about what's online and think about getting rid of stuff that they may regret that they've put online and keeping a constant watch on it. And I guess the final thing that's not on the sheet there is talk to other parents. Find a more tech-savvy parent, find a more un-tech-savvy parent, and talk to one another. Hook in with a church community or parents group or whatever it might be and talk about these things. Well, to summarise, very quickly, don't be unaware, don't be angry, be wary but willing. Your kids know more than you, so how are you going to help them to do good with the internet and steer clear from dangerous stuff? Because there is much good that they can be a part of. There is much good that they can actually do on the internet. So I hope this time's been helpful for you in thinking about how to be a wary but willing parent.
Thanks so much, Dave. That's fantastic.